You're listening to Sideshow Network.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsor, the gorgeous Christy Doherty, and our super premium Sugar Mama sponsor, Miss Madonna Hines, Madge with a sexy J. We love you girls. Hello and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Finding Prince Charming podcast, and I'm with my gorgeous, talented little temporary Texan, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banta Blender. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you today?
Good. I miss you. LA misses you, darling.
Oh, I've only been gone for 24 hours. For those of you who don't know, which is probably everyone, because I think that there are people in my own real life who don't know this, I am in Texas right now. I have gone to Ronnie's home state to find all the dirt about him.
Austin. They're like, well, yes. Ronnie Karam sat around a lot and made shitty comments about people.
Yes. I am. I'm here in Austin, Texas, because my boyfriend's been down here for the past month choreographing something for the Zach Theater, Priscilla Queen of the Desert, and tonight is opening night. So I am going to go watch those drag queens in action and enjoy myself. And I've already probably gained about 45 pounds. Last night I went to Gordo's. Have you been to Gordo's?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my goodness. I didn't know about this monstrosity of a restaurant. And I went in, I was like, I'm just going to try to have something light. Meanwhile, it's like 11:45 p.m. I don't know why I'm at this place if I'm trying to eat healthy. I had a slab of fried chicken served over mashed potatoes, topped with cream corn, all on a giant donut.
Yep.
Texas.
That's Texas.
And it was delicious.
You know how I was thinking the other day, I was looking at lemons and I was like, those are so cheap considering they're sprayed on everything we cook here in old California. That's Texas's version of mayonnaise, okay? There's mayonnaise on everything. It's the California lemon. It's the Texan fruit. Mayonnaise.
Yeah. And you know what? This morning we went to get breakfast at Snooze. Have you been to Snooze?
No.
I had, so I was like, okay, you know what? I'm sorry. I've got to eat healthy this morning because yesterday was just like a disaster. Gordo's was just the tip of it. And I went, I had an egg white frittata at this place called Snooze. It was so amazing. I feel like it was one of the best egg white frittatas I've ever had in my life. So it's been a culinary adventure here in Austin, as it should be.
You know, there are people in Austin right now listening to this, just shaking their head that someone is giving Austin such high praise for a fucking egg white frittata. You know?
Well, that's the
thing. That just goes against everything we're for. How dare you, sir?
I agree. Everyone else at the restaurant was having like stacks of pancakes. The pancake of the day was a pancake with caramel and chocolate sauce on top and cream cheese and walnuts stuffed inside it. And here I am getting egg white omelets. But I'm here to say even the healthy option felt decadent and wonderful. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Did they just call it the pussy dish?
Yeah.
Like, I'll have one pussy, please.
Yeah. One big pussy. One big California pussy seated right by the cornhole.
Yeah, that's not a place to go eat healthy. Although they do have a lot of healthy stuff now like that, and there's juiceries everywhere now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big thing. Wash your Whataburger down with some fresh carrot juice now.
The culinary options in the city are actually kind of bonkers. So bonkers that I just drove by a pizza place that had a sign up that was like, hey, on Friday nights, this is a pokey stop. And I actually thought for a moment, is there a pokey pop-up inside a pizza place? I was like, that's so Austin. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, Pokemon Go. But I actually was convinced for a moment because it seemed conceivable in Austin that you could get pokey at a pizza place.
Actually, what else is conceivable is a place you actually go do the pokey. I was like, oh, how nice.
At the broken spoke. But we're not here to talk about Austin, although I probably could talk about it for hours and hours. We're here to talk about Bravo.
Yes, we sure are.
Yeah. So why don't you tell everyone about everything?
Oh, yeah. Hey guys, welcome to the opening. Okay, so I'll make it quick. For all of these links I'm about to tell you, you can just go to watchwhatcrappens.com. They all there. For our bonus episodes, which have been really fun lately, those are another like 45 to an hour episode a week. So if you just can't get enough BS, go over there. This week, we go over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's where our premium members are from. And I'd like to thank our super premium sponsor, Madonna Hines.
Yeah, she's the best.
Yeah, so for all our bonuses and for our Google Hangouts and Ringers and all that good stuff, just go over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. If you want to talk about the shows that we cover with other listeners who make really hilarious, snarky-ass comments, just go to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. And, yeah, otherwise, just find our links on watchwhatcrappens.com. Thanks to everybody who's a premium subscriber, a tune-in subscriber. And I think that's it, because now we don't have to talk about the PodFest because it's over.
It's over. And I think there was some issue with the back episodes on TuneIn that our dear friend Noah reported us to us about. Well, we've talked with TuneIn, or our person at Sideshow has, and everything should be fixed. So if that was an issue for you, guess what? It should be fixed.
Yes, now they're all available. That was a bunch of bullshit. So everybody don't think we're trying to rob you. They're all there, all 10 bonus episodes.
Yeah, and we are trying to rob you, though, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, we will rob you, especially after we watched Westworld. We are flesh bots that will
rob you. Yes, we're robots. We're free-balling robots ready to attack.
All right, well, let's get into some mail, shall we, man?
Oh, my God, that is a great idea. Let's open up the Crappens mailbag.
And as usual, if you want to submit to the mailbag, that's a Patreon feature. So just go sign up at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Okay, Ben, go.
Yeah. And just a reminder on the reminder, if you are at the subscribing at the Crappens mailbag level, you can also weigh in on the Crappens super fight, which this week is 50 Transformer Janets versus a guacamole version of Ray from New York City with a sausage lasso, naturally. anyway. Okay, so let's go. Good old Ben Cohen, one of our staunchest supporters. He says, Bethany is selling zero fucks shirts as expected. Wow, I'm surprised that Erica Jane is not mad about that. I am sure a lot of women will wear that during the week with their get off my jock shirts. Yeah. Bethany's need to cash in got me thinking about the Watcher Crap and Patreon tiers and the rewards. I see that there isn't a $10, $15, or $25 tier. Have there been any ideas to expand the rewards? What's the craziest reward that was rejected? That's a good question. You know, for us, when we are coming up with these tiers, to sort of get back to the robbery thing, we want to be able to provide a reward that is like worthwhile and also can scale, if that makes sense. Like, it's one thing if we're like, oh, let's like sew everyone a t-shirt, you know, but then if we have like, you know, 45 people who sign up, it's like, oh, we've got to sew a new t-shirt, like 45 new t-shirts every week, every month, like, you know. So we haven't like come up with anything that we've really liked, I would say, at those tiers, because it's really important for us that our listeners feel like it's a good value for them, right? We don't want to people to feel ripped off. Like we're supporting this podcast and all we get back is a sticker or a pin, you know? So we haven't really come up with anything.
Also, we don't want to mail things. Like let's just face it. Let's face it. Okay.
Like the mail
is so slow and then people will say I didn't get it. And I'll be like, I don't think so. I won't even do eBay anymore because that is like too much for me. I don't like leaving the house. I don't like stamps. I don't understand the system. So everything electronic. But if you guys have any ideas for stuff you'd want, just leave it in the mailbag. Just let us know because we're always looking for new ideas. It is time to start changing it up for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we actually introduced the Crappens Super Fight, because we just wanted to mix things up, but we didn't feel like the Crappens Super Fight was worth paying like $7 a month or something like that, because that'd be crazy. But we felt like, you know what, at least for the people who are already subscribing at the $5 level, like at least this is something else that they can get out of that. because we thought it would just be a fun thing, and we're sort of trying to get it off the ground. But we would love to, I mean, you know, for us, we have to balance our desire to to raise more money for the podcast with our hatred of actually doing things, which is our laziness. So yeah, if you guys, if there are things that you want out of us, things that like you feel like you'd like, you know, that you'd say, hey, you know, I'd be willing to pay, you know, like at the $10 level if you did this or that, like let us know, because, you know, we're open to ideas. We don't even have any, like Ben asked, like, what's the craziest reward that was rejected? We don't have anything crazy. Do we have anything crazy?
I think we literally have nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah. Like so we'll come up with something new. I've got some good ideas. We'll have that as our goal for next week to announce some new things. So if you guys have ideas, just leave them in the mailbag or on the Facebook or wherever, and we'll come hunt them down.
Yeah. Oh, and I'd like to spontaneously propose something right now, live on the air. Let's do it for our $5 tier and above. I have an extra copy of a board game called Karuba. How about we just do a giveaway?
A raffle?
Like a raffle. Why don't we do that for it? So basically, how about you have until next Thursday, which is October 13th. And then anyone who's at the $5 tier or above, we'll put your name in a hat and we'll draw a name and you get a free board game.
Okay, cool. Sounds good to me.
Sounds good. Sounds good to you.
Yeah. What else is in that bag, boy?
Kate A says, hi, boys. Have you noticed how Megan is almost always holding some sort of open beverage whenever she walks into a scene on Real Housewives of Orange County? Fertility clinic, golf course, candle store, wherever she is, she's randomly clutching a bottle or can of some sort. Has Lipton iced tea endorsed her baby journey or something?
I doubt it, because I've noticed that even iced tea commercials are trying to be super exciting, where they're like, oh, it's tea! It's like people skiing upside down or like jumping through rings of fire. It's like, Jesus Christ, people, it's iced tea. So I don't think that there's any advertising meeting in the world where they're like, let's make this drink more exciting. How about that male talking girl who's possibly married to a gay guy?
I love our listeners. I love that we have someone writing into us about the fact that Megan seems to be thirsty. I love this. Is there something up with those open beverages she has?
Yeah.
All right, we've gone to the bottom of it. She's been taking ecstasy. No need to be alarmed. Her version of ecstasy is being really sad and mopey all the time.
I think she's just a really poor actor, because having done a lot of community theater in my day, line up for autographs, guys. Don't just attack me all at once. But doing a lot of community theater, you know the really shitty actors, because, I mean, they could be playing the watermelon seller at the fair or whatever, but their first question in blocking session is always, what's my prop? Always. Terrible actors are obsessed with a prop. They need to be holding something at all times.
Yeah.
And I think that that's Megan. I think she probably puts a lot of feeling into it and is like, well, today I'm going to have like a Snapple, like your dumb flavor, just so everybody will know. Like, all know that everybody's dumb, but they won't know because it's just in my drink.
It's really important for me to have some Snapple iced tea right now, because I really like how they show the Boston Tea Party on the label. It really like expresses the revolution that I'm going through personally as well.
There's a lot of people yelling at this lunch, which is why I'm carrying around a bottle of iodized water. They're toxic.
You know, the truth is, I think actually the most realistic explanation for her frequent bottle holding is that Megan is a classic wealthy trophy wife who has nothing to do but to go online and read every single article about wellness, right?
Yes, that is definitely a subscriber to Goop.
Yeah, exactly. And she's probably read that you have to like drink a certain amount of water every day in order to have like a healthy skin and a healthy body and a healthy baby, etc., which is actually that's true. But like she probably reads everything about, you know, be sure to like wear Crocs for 15 minutes a day because it'll improve your posture, you know. And she's like, hey, Jimmy, I read about Crocs, and I was thinking that we should have, like, a 15-minute, like, Croc time together. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, fuck Crocs. Yeah, fuck you, too. Yeah. I just wanted to say that there's you know, I don't say that many positive things. So I just wanted to say something positive. You know, Kate A., who submitted this question, people walk through life thinking they don't matter. And you make a little statement here or there. And like, who's listening to you? We're just all little specks of sand on the earth or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, you really do change people's lives every day without really even knowing it. For example, I'm never going to watch another scene of Megan without thinking of what drink she's holding in her hand. You see, you've put that in people's heads forever now. So don't feel like you can't make a change, people.
I wasn't being sarcastic before. I really do love our listeners because they pick up on, like, just like we do, they also pick up on random things. And now it's like we're always going to notice Megan with a bottle of something in her hand. And it'll be, like, annoying to us now.
Suddenly,
and we're going to, like, live in that annoyingness.
Suddenly America is like, when Megan comes on, people are like, what? Megan's on. Like, suddenly people are going to be caring just to see the drink. You know, you changed a lot for Megan. She might get a pickup.
Yeah, this is sort of like her thing now, like Megan plastic bottle holder. Although they could also introduce a scandal like, Megan, are you recycling your bottles? Are you like reusing, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle? Please, bitch.
Well, I thought I was buying a 6-pack, but it's only a 5-pack. I'm really upset.
I just don't want any seagulls to die. So I just like have one bottle. I really care about seagulls. Although I did hear that like seagulls like can transfer like airborne measles. So I kind of think that we should do something about that.
They should call them Seagulls. Okay, what else is in the bag, Ben?
All right, well, we actually, let's see, we've got Lauren Green. She says, hello, revisiting Secrets and Wives. God bless you, Lauren Green. Everyone should revisit
paralyzed!
Secrets and Wives. I'm paralyzed. Lauren Green says, I was wondering, since Bethany and Corey are friends based on her attending that terrible Hamptons party on Real Housewives of New York City this season. Could you imagine Corey, quote-unquote, lots of blowjobs, Goldfarb, giving Bethany marriage advice for when she was still married to Jason? What would that have been like? What would Corey from Secrets and Wives been like giving marriage advice to Bethany Frankel during the Jason Hoppe years?
Well, look, actually, he threw you a birthday party. Like, there's no reason to be upset. I know you're crying, but sometimes you just got to take your feelings and put them in a little drawer and pretend that nothing's happening around you. It's called a happy marriage, Bethany.
You know what? Marriage sucks. That's what it is, Bethany. Marriage sucks. What you got to do is you got to get Jason a toupee, and then he'll be happy forever.
Sometimes you got to let Jason feel like he's the man of the household. For example, if he wants to put traffic cones in the middle of a road that he's not licensed to put traffic cones in, just so people will trip their way into the parking lot of your service that's offering asshole cleansing steaming, then you gotta let him do it. Will you get traffic tickets? Possibly. Will the city come down on you? Most likely. Will no one's asshole really get cleaned in the end? Yes, but he'll be happy. And that's all you need for a good marriage, Beth.
You know what? I named my store Truth and Beauty after my beliefs of how a marriage should be, okay? It should be full of truth and beauty, which is why hair pieces are essential, okay? It sucks. I know, it sucks.
My spinoff store is called Equals Fake It Till You Make It, okay? Truth plus beauty equals fake it till you make it. I mean, what are you going to do, divorce him? Like, better the schlub you know than the schlub you don't know. I would actually love to be a fly. Well, there's so many flies on the wall, so maybe I need a better way to say it. But I would love to be a person who watched that friend circle in real life, because Bethany is in that friend circle in real life. They all went to high school together, and Bethany is fucking one of the friend circle's husbands. That's the big scandal. That's the big scandal I found out when I was doing my private eye investigation. When she says she's known this man forever, she has, because the girl who was married to him is a decorator in Montauk. And she is friend circle. Like, if you look at Corey's Instagram, which apparently I do, or at least I have now, she's tagged in all the pictures. So she's part of that friend circle. So Bethany basically ripped off a husband from her own friend circle. Shame on you. Shame.
We're going to have to toss so many chandeliers onto the driveway now.
Liza.
I firmly believe that Bravo should resurrect Secrets and Wives, but in Queer Eye for the Straight Guy form, wherein the cast of Secrets and Wives goes around trying to help other women. So you have like Corey just going around giving blowjob advice and just saying that everything sucks. And then you have Liza just going, I'm paralyzed. I can't believe what you're doing in your life. I'm paralyzed. And then you have Susan be like, you got to get a job. Jonathan's got a job. He's a professional thumb up an ass. That's what he does. And then you got, of course,
so he's been to prison. What are you going to do? Look, he's been to prison. At least he's not sticking his thumb up people's asses anymore. Okay.
What was the name of the one who went, Max? Hurricane Arthur? Max?
Oh, Audrey from Little Shop of Horrors. What was her name?
I'm with the dentist.
We're going to put this on Insta. I mean, put this on Insta. Arthur, we're going to put Max on Insta.
He got me a used VW bug. If that doesn't say love, I don't know what does, doctor.
And what was the name of the girl? Was her name also Corey? I feel like her name was also Corey, who would sleep in the same bed as Liza, and it was on like her fifth marriage, and she'd walk
I felt
around.
So bad for that girl because nobody knows who she is. I even saw her on the Instagram post. She was tagged in them too, and I was like, "What's your name?" Like I even read her at. You know how it's like at the lady who's friends with Corey or whatever, and I still don't know her name.
I would also, of course, we must never overlook Gail, the passive aggressive plastic surgeon's wife, who is controlling the hot receptionist by putting blazers on them. It's so amazing. What a great show.
Control through polyester. Hey, Bravo, here's what I have to say to you. Shame on you for canceling Secrets and Wives. Shame.
You got to let these shows breathe, Bravo, okay? Like, give them a few seasons. Let them develop. Okay, Secrets and Wives, I'm telling you, Secrets and Wives, Princesses Long Island, Gallery Girls, need I say more? Great show.
How does like $1 million listing get a million spinoffs, but you won't give Secrets and Wives another chance? Shame.
You know what? It's like there must be some self-loathing because, you know, Bravo is such a New York network. They're based in New York. They're everything about it just reads New York. And yet anytime they do a show that's not a Real Housewives about a bunch of women in New York, no.
Well, also, New York is full of the biggest ass complainers. Remember, because Secrets and Wives, they were trying to get them banned from filming everywhere. They're like, what a trashy show. And then when Princesses Long Island came out, they're like, how dare you say this about the Jews? Because they were called I mean, come on, people, lighten up a little bit.
I know. And by the way, speaking of Princesses Long Island and women of a certain age, I think it's like important for us also to remember Babs, mother of the girl. I forget her name. Remember,
I've been on the gravel. No one told me to come out of the car.
No. That's Liza's mom. That's Liza's mom with the spiders coming out of her vagina.
Yeah.
Babs was the one who had the wishbone dressing, and her daughter was. Remember, she has a boutique in Great Neck called Warehouse.
Are you going to marry my daughter? Are you going to marry my daughter? What do I know? I'm just making a wishbone. Get it? You need some more on your salad?
Yeah, take a drink, Hanky. You're going to need it because your cup is going to get warm.
Who doesn't want to marry into a family where the mom's in a crop top holding a bottle of half-full wishbone ranch dressing?
And the best part about Babs was that her advice was, like, spot on. She was, like, she was right about everything she said. But, man, she was hilarious.
So he looks a little like Kramer from Seinfeld. The guy had a very good job.
Whatever you do, don't just make sure you don't go gallivanting around the 9/11 statue, okay? Just promise me that.
Shut up, Mom. We only have one other question left in the mailbag, so rather than make Betsy MD wait a full other week, we'll just ask it, okay?
Okay.
Actually, technically, there are two. Kathy did a response to the Crappin super fight in here. So we just have to remember, Kathy, if we forget to read your response on Tuesday, apologies. But Betsy MD, our favorite doctor, says, late to the game mailbag, my friends. Ben hinted that he dated one of the Finding Prince Charming contestants. Can you please, please, please elaborate more? Who was it? Danique the Freak? Dylan? Would either of you go drop your walls, be vulnerable, and go on a dating show like that? If so, please don't puck a kiss like this dude does. Swack. I did not date any of the Prince Charming guys. I think with Dylan, I think that we spoke on Grindr like a long time ago, but there was nothing, I never even hooked up with any of them. I'm sorry to say.
He's like, let me tell you what the other people on Grindr are saying about you.
Yeah.
He's like the big tattletale of the show for those that don't watch.
To be gay in LA means you've pretty much talked to everyone on Grindr at some point. So it's like not that big of a shock. I forget what I originally had teased
it. Unless you're like me. I'm like, what happened to finding men in the snail mail?
Yeah. No, I never. Danique, I've never even. I think Danique lives in Flagstaff. So no, nothing with Danique. But Brandon.
Excuse you. That was such disdain.
Well, meaning that like I would not like how would I have dated him? You know, but Brandon is a friend of mine, not a very close friend. He's just someone that I know, and he is a really lovely gent. So I hope he does well on the show. I mean, he's doing well so far. It was dessert last week, if I remember correctly.
Oh Lord, that's the guy who gave his Alcoholics Anonymous necklace to the guy so he could. Oh yeah. Lord, my head is shaking. My head. I can't stop my head from shaking, but
the whole show is
that
ridiculous.
Said, what a cutie pie. He's very
super cute. Honestly, I mean, I have not hung out with him in probably like 3-4 years, but he actually has like a really nice personality. Like he's a really good guy. So,
I'm not anti-dating sober guys. You've always got someone to drive you home. It's like saving me an Uber bill. Let's get married.
So good for you, Brandon. Good for you for being sober and for catching the eye of Mr. Robert Sepulveda Jr. Junior?
Sepulveda Jr.
Is he a junior?
He's a junior. He only talks like that in my mind. In real life, he just talks like this. But in my mind, he's like, "Hello, today we have dates that are appetizer, entree, and dessert, Junior."
I just love how he's like striving to find connection with the most basic things. He's like, wow, Robbie has glasses. I wear glasses too. That's just another thing that we have in common. Love. Congratulations, Robert. You found love. And as I mentioned in the bonus episode, was it last week? I was really excited because I saw Robert Sepulveda Jr. at the hot deli bar of the local Ralph's grocery store.
Well, it was a crazy week last week. He was just all over. You saw him at the hot bar. My neighbor Brian saw him at the pool of his building over on Fuller, and Matt Whitfield got his hair cut by the guy Eric from that show, which has nothing to do with Robert, but he said that he thinks Eric wins because they're in the same neighborhood. I'm like, you live in Hollywood. They're probably all there, but it's a big Finding Prince Charming week.
It's funny because the Ralph's I went to was on Fuller, so Mr. Sepulveda Jr. must be definitely in the neighborhood. Which I wonder where does Eric cut hair? Is it at like
Shorty's?
I was about to say, was it Shorty's? I used to get my hair cut there, but now I've moved to Trendsetters.
I used to go to Fantastic Sam's.
Graduated to a black barbershop. What'd you say?
I'm a Fantastic Sam's person myself until God said no more hair for you. Probably because I didn't respect it enough and only went to Fantastic Sam's. But
well, I patronized Birdo at Trendsetters, and I've been very happy with the service so far. I think that's it for the Crappens mailbag. Thank you, everyone, for contributing. It's always so fun to do that sheep noise.
My little Benjamin, what would you like to discuss first today? We've got both the Real Housewives of, what are we doing? Oh, Melbourne Reunion and Below Deck. Let's do Melbourne first. I know I said it was going to be your choice, but can we do Melbourne first?
That's fine, because I was going to defer to you anyway.
Oh, I love it. I love a pre-deferment takeover. I will not let you defer to me. Thank you. That was about to be so kind of you.
Yeah. Wait, can I just complain about something very briefly?
I would love it.
That has nothing to do with Bravo, but I'm just looking at it right now on the floor. I have this beautiful hanger. I bought over the summer, as some of you may remember, I bought a new suit from Banana Republic, and it came with a big chunky hanger, and I brought it here to Austin, and the metal hanger part of it broke off from the rest of the hanger, and I'm looking at like a decapitated hanger, and I am so angry about it.
So it's one of those plastic hangers with the metal head or whatever?
Yeah, and the metal head is like now fully separated, and I actually feel, this may sound paranoid, I feel like, because I checked the bag, that someone at LAX went through and was hostile with my hanger, and now it's broken, and I'm really upset about it.
Yeah, they'll get nasty in the go-throughs at the airport.
Yeah.
You know, guys, 9/11. Do you remember pre-9/11 where you could fly from place to place without worrying about your damn hangers?
I miss those days.
Yeah.
But now
it's like the terrorists have won, okay? Congratulations, terrorists.
That's all. I just needed to vent really quickly. It was just like it just bubbled up in me very quickly, and now it's out, so we can go on to Melbourne.
I feel like whoever is running for president should just hold up an intact hanger and be like, if you want a perfect world, you'll vote for me. The end.
Say what you will about wire hangers. They don't get decapitated.
Jesus Christ.
That wire, that hanger, that wire stays intact, okay?
The hell are we doing today?
I don't know. I've been drinking a lot of coffee for 3 hours.
Oh, did you hear that cough?
No, I was slurping in my coffee.
The mute button works. Thank God. Okay, let's get on to the Real Housewives of Melbourne reunion. God damn it, I love this show. When they have training for new housewives, they should sit them down in front of Real Housewives and show them how a reunion is done, okay?
I beg your pardon?
You are a piece of filth. You are skim. You are...
The big reunion started with the new convention, which is like the pre-show of everyone arriving, showing up. Chica, of course, is like, I think I'm ready to say some things, to get some things off my chest, and then go have some tea with Chessie and Brucey. That's all.
I'll tell you what, some people think Chica never gets upset, but Chica is upset, and I might just say something, or I might just say, how has your week been, lovely? I'm not sure yet.
Gina shows up looking like she is ready to compete in the next Winter Olympics figure skating event. Okay. And at first, that was my first note. I was like, okay, Gina looks like she's Christy Yamaguchi right now. But then the crazy thing was, she wasn't the only one. All of them look like they're ready to go figure skating.
Well, I think it's so funny that Gina shows up in full hair and makeup and then gets another layer of full hair and makeup on top of that hair and makeup.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah.
It's like this is my base.
It's like when you make a table, you know? So it's like she's been sanded down and now she just needs to be sealed up.
I think the cutest without her makeup was Gamble. She just looks like, oh! Like if you could make that sound into a look, that's basically what she looked like.
She's like an adorable cuttlefish. That's what I think, you know? Just a little deranged.
I think she's like a little cute... kind of claymation little boy from one of those Christmas movies.
Yes. She is actually becoming more and more like Senior Wences' hand puppet. Like, just the way she rotates her head, the way she's always surprised, the way her mouth is sort of agape. She's just an adorable puppet.
She looks extremely confused. She's that child when you go to adopt a child that you're like, oh, that one's confused and facing the corner. Why is that? And then you take them home and put on huge wigs and wig tape. You know how it goes, guys.
You know the way that like Grover and Elmo like laugh and walk? You know when they walk, their whole like head bobs forward up and down? I feel like that's how Gamble walks. Like a boom, 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 boom. And I feel like if she were to ever like put her hands up, you would see the little poles underneath them.
And of course, they're trying to get them all fighting before the thing. So they're asking her, you know, what are you going to do today? Who are you going against? And just as her cute, confused little claymation boy, she's like...
I'm scared of Gina, but Betty's been a bitch.
I'm like, oh, can't wait.
I'm on a lot of extensions.
And then Lydia comes in, and she's wearing, like, basically the sluttiest wedding dress you can imagine. Just some big white thing with mesh patches and a train and
disaster. Yeah, it's like a mummy whore finally found a rich old man to marry.
Yeah.
It's like, congratulations, mummy whore. Or somebody, or like a house that got toilet papered with really like fancy satin.
Yes. But then there was Jackie's outfit, which was this crazy, like, again, a giant mesh see-through portion over her chest. And her boobs were covered up with little roses. And there were these black, there was like a black fabric underneath it. It was some weird, like, I don't know if it's like bordello or flamenco, not flamenco, whatever it was, tango. it just was very strange.
Yes. And I feel like if Jackie was wearing an outfit to come to Moonlight Bowling at Skylines in El Paso, and my meemaw would walk up to her and say, "The lights aren't off yet. You might want to put on a jacket, dear."
To me, it looked like she had basically taken some upholstery and made a dress out of it.
And fishnets. Yeah, like upholstery and fishnets. Yeah, it was creepy. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I did like that she was saying, "I'm going to own it. But Petit Fleur, I'll tell you what she's going to do. She's going to try and get attention." It's like, have you seen what you're wearing?
Yeah.
I mean, for Christ's sake, nothing begs for attention like fishnet upholstery. Please change.
and then we have Alex Perry himself, the host of this disaster, who is doing his thing where he wears his sunglasses on his head. It's kind of his thing. It's his accessory. But he was wearing
that for their thing. Like, get a personality. Who does that? Like, I wear sunglasses on my head, dear.
It's like, I don't say, like, the worst trademark look.
It's bad. And he's going to get sunspots on his head because it probably works like a magnifying glass with the sun, you know, just magnifies that part of his head. He's going to have like little twin sun cancers on his head.
When he has to wear sunglasses, does he actually have two pairs of sunglasses on, one for the head and one for the eyes? Or does he just bring them down?
Probably. He's probably got one on the back of his neck too, like a pair under his boobs.
The truth is, I don't think there's been any celebrity who has accessorized with unorthodox sunglass placement that has been well received by America. You know, whether it's Guy Fieri or this guy, it's just not going to work.
Oh, I wrote down my note on Jackie's outfit is she looks like a screen door on a whorehouse.
Screen door on a whorehouse. Alex Perry, he had this like crazy white tie with this giant knot that was pushed so far up, it was like bulging almost out of his collar, like up to his chin. It was just so, everything was just so bizarre. There's bizarre styling happening on
his face. Is bizarre because, again, he's one of these men that we're used to crazy faces on women. Okay, we've all been socialized, you know what I mean, we've all been normalized by the Real Housewives. We know what crazy plastic surgery looks like. Like, even Adrienne Maloof, I saw her in real life, even she looked normal. Like, it's just become normal in my brain. Still not the same for men. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry to be sexist, but I can't. Yeah. You look crazy.
Well, his looks like his swelling never went down. That's the problem. It's like something melted along the way, and it's left him with this look.
Yes, he got some Groupon surgery. You know, it's like he didn't wait for them to perfect it. You know, he got the Australian version of Groupon surgery, and it just, I don't know, it's like caulk.
So he is saying hi to everyone, and I love it. He says hi to Lydia. He's like, "Lydia, you've caught a bit of a beating on social media." And they cut to Jackie, and she's just sneering. She's fully like,
Jackie's face throughout this whole thing was just amazing. Every time they cut to Jackie, she'd be like, "Oh, me?" Like a different face like that.
She was basically saying, "I beg your pardon," before she was saying it.
As they began this reunion, it was horror music. It was like, boom, 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 boom. Somebody going to die. And then Alex's face. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that there is a thing going on in America right now. Clown scares.
Yes,
there is, like,
what is that?
It started in South Carolina. I just read about it last night. It started in South Carolina with a hoax that people dressed as clowns were like coming out of the woods and trying to lure children into the woods. And now it's like the new thing, these hoaxes that, oh no, like there are clowns coming around. They're going to like set up terrorist things, whatever. And now it's gotten to a point where like at UConn and at Penn State, like hundreds of students are going around trying to find clowns and beat them up. And like, there are all these clown hoaxes and people getting arrested and schools are being like, classes are being shut down because of clown things. And I think seeing this reunion, we see where it originated. It all started here.
The terror began in Melbourne.
Like, okay, 9 clowns got together in a room and started yelling at each other. Everyone, shut down classes.
The terrorist clowns are throwing pillows at each other. that clown terrorism. I won't pay attention to it. I've been reading about it. They call it clown terrorists. Or whatever. And I won't click on the stories because I'm really afraid of clowns, like drag queens. I'm afraid of both. I won't click on them. I can't watch it. It gets me scared. Yeah. But, you know, you go, Real Housewives of Melbourne. Glad to see Alex's face is doing some good in the world.
Yeah.
So, Alex, I have to say, just a macro, we should probably start moving through these notes because we're on like minute two, and I will talk about Alex's face for like 20. But Alex, I have to say, as a macro, great job. I mean, he's hilarious in this. He finally loosened up where he's calling all of them equally, because last year I feel like he really only tortured Gina, which wasn't fair. This year he really tortured every single one of them. And then when he got pissed, he was like, shut the fuck up! Shut up, you stupid imbeciles! When you talk like a bunch of ninnies at the same time, we don't get shit! Like, he was freaking out, like, that's what I want to see from Andy Cohen, just losing his fucking mind. And then sitting back down like, all right, everything's great, let's try again, shall we?
Yeah, I think the difference is that Andy Cohen loves when they yell at each other, even when he acts like he doesn't, because for him, it just means more money. And I think with Alex Perry, he's just like, listen, I'm just trying to get back to Outback tonight, all right? I'm waiting for my Bloomin' Onion. And the more I have to sit here and listen to you, the less time I have my Bloomin' Onion, okay?
It's like, I literally am not getting paid for this right now.
Yeah.
I got paid for the first 8 hours. We're going into hour 37, all right?
So Gamble's talking about her wedding, and she's saying that she and Wolf Pup, they bought a house together. They were renting before, but now they have their own house. So everyone, sex parties, they're starting up again.
Finally, we can get sperm on something and not worry about a mate survive.
I love Gamble's whole attitude on her prenup. He was trying to give her shit about her prenup because she said so many stupid things about it over the season. But I liked that she said,
I actually really like Wolf Pup, and I don't want him to think I'm just there for his money. The best thing when you're in an airplane is to know where you're going to land.
Look, you make no sense, but I love you. And also when she said,
oh, Lukey, little Luke, my little son, he's like my little weapon. He's a bitch.
And it's someone finally, a housewife, who's like, yes, I do use this person as a weapon. Get over it, okay?
And Janet's like, oh, am I out of the freezer now? I don't know. I'm still doing Gamble voice, but whatever.
Those are two rough ones to do upside each other.
It's hard, but Janet's like, isn't that fantastic? Am I out of the freezer now? Or is it still me with some frozen chicken?
Oh, children, aren't they wonderful? Putting old people in freezers. Congratulations, darling.
So what I was impressed with is how quickly this reunion moved from topic to topic, even if it was in a totally disorganized way, because they very quickly got into the Celebrity Apprentice gate. And going into this whole thing, like, Gina, and I also like to add, they did not get to the bottom of anything. But
Alex they didn't even just bring it up. Alex is just totally a bitch out the gate. His first question to Gina is, oh, Gina, glad you could be here, even though you're so busy. And everyone started cackling. These bitches are so funny. And she's, like, trying not to punch him already. And he's like, well, it seemed like Gina was too busy for anybody but herself. Like, that's the intro to the montage.
Yeah. And he's like, Gina, do you have Mariah Carey moments? And she's like, no, I work harder than anyone I know. And like, we work hard. And like, and she's like, I said anyone that I know. They're like, you know us.
Cheeker's like, did you not notice what was happening in the United Emirates, dear?
Did you, perhaps you didn't see the dessert trays that went on for 3 kilometers? I worked hard on that with Chessie.
Gina. So all these clips of Gina. I haven't got time to scratch or do wardrobe. Now I've got to learn how to marry people. Here's what I've done. And then she starts going down her list of things she's done. She's like, I've done the Celebrity Apprentice. I've done a bit of acting on The Neighbors. I've done a hair ad. I also combed my eyebrows today. I took a speed walk with Josh. Went to the store.
I sent an email to Lionel Richie via my psychic. It was more of like a mental email. So I was on Neighbors, but I also performed a little skit for my neighbors. I'm sort of like a town clown, if you will.
Also, to one neighbor on my right, I'm a neighbor. But to the neighbor on my left, I'm also a neighbor. Which gave me triple neighbor duty. At the end of the day. Like, it's like this list of crazy things. Cheeker is just all upset. I love that the only things that can really make Cheeker mad are when something random that we still don't know is said about Brucie, or calling her not the hardest worker in the bunch, because that's really all she has.
Yeah. I mean, Cheeker does work hard. I mean, I feel like it seems like they really do some like massive events. I mean, when she said that they did a dessert buffet that was a kilometer long, I'm like, what the hell is that?
And what's a kilometer? Just kidding. Yeah. We're all ignorant.
Is that like 5 feet? Never mind. To take it back, Cheeker.
It's a foot in Australia. Gina, this question was, is Gina's ego out of control now that she's a brand? He's such a bitch. And then he tells her, are you an idiot or is it all in the editing, Gina? And she's like, it is in the editing. In that for example, in that meeting with Gamble about her wedding with the celebrant, it wasn't the sum. They just showed me scrolling through my phone. And he's like, so actually the celebrant said it was accurate. Are you calling the celebrant a liar? She's like, well, yeah, I mean, I was scrolling, but we also talked about lots of things, like what kind of table I would use if I was getting married on the Celebrity Apprentice.
And then it's around here where Gamble starts, you know, she starts yelling at Gina. She starts trying to say something about how, like, you know, like, oh, you're not been a good friend for me or whatever. And so she starts, and Gina's, of course, shutting her down. So then that's when Gamble's like, let me make my valid point. Oh, you mow me down all the time. And Gina's like, do I? When do I? Gamble, like,
you're doing it right now.
Am I? Or are you just being a crazy bitch?
Like, she doesn't even have to have anything to say. She'll just talk over everybody, which, I mean, it's actually a good weapon because I ended up leaving her alone and she admitted to nothing.
Well, I mean, Gina, like, Gamble just should know not to go up against Gina, because when she finally says whatever she needs to say, Gina's just like, this is the wounded pigeon routine we get occasionally.
Wounded pigeons shit all over the place and then act like it's your fault for not giving him more of your crust.
Let me ask you this, Gamble. Why don't pigeons ever have nests? Where the nests? Where the pigeons come from?
I don't know.
See?
Rentals. Just like I thought. She keeps trying to change it around, and then she's like, well, I was the celebrant at a wedding. I didn't know that meant I was a bitch.
I didn't call you a bitch.
Yeah, she did later. And then she's not looking at her. So after all of this getting nowhere, Alex goes, well, how's your friendship now? And Gamble goes,
it's much better now because it's a stronger friendship because we fought with each other.
And she goes, actually, no, that's not the truth.
Yeah.
It's not stronger because I don't like fighting with my friends. And then she went look at Gamble. I was like, God.
I know. And before that even happened, what was amazing was that, like, here is Gamble just saying, like, I wish you'd been upfront with me about the Celebrity Apprentice thing. And then Gina's the one who's like, well, if I think of anyone who deserves an apology, it's me. She called me a bitch. Like, Gina, who says the nastiest things about everyone, is like, well, she called me a bitch. And then they ask Susie, because Susie's not doing anything as usual. So Alex's like, Susie, what do you think about this? And she's like, well, I think that it's a new friendship. And I think that Gamble perhaps obligated Gina with too many wedding responsibilities. And Gamble's like, oh, now it's my fault again. and then I love when she does that. Pettiflor just goes, oh, don't do the me, Gamble thing again. At which point Gamble just turns and goes, oh, shut up, Pettiflor.
And Alex goes, you can all shut up. How about you shut up too? I don't even care about that anymore. What I care about is the relationship. So stupid. So then they started with fireworks, which means Susie. So
big
snoozy
news.
Time.
Big news with Susie. She's got some goosebumps. Here they come, the goosebumps. Oh, got the goosebumps. I got goosebumps. Oh, God, I'm going to make a pavlova. And I'm going to call it Goosebumps. And I got my new order of goosebumps from Amazon. I love those books.
It's almost like the time I was about to make macaroons with actual flour instead of almond flour. Goosebumps.
I'll tell you, that's not just nuts. That's coconuts. Macaroons.
I've never been more disappointed since I heard the term muffin top. Since when is that such a bad thing? But I want to know.
All this time I thought dancing the merengue meant that we were going to make some egg whites.
So her big thing was basically making Pop-Tarts. And then they get into the Lydia thing. So since they don't have 20 episodes, he's like, oh, you enjoy baking. Awesome. Lydia called you the C word or whatever it is. So it becomes this Huge. Yeah. Oh, well, first she had her psychic thing. You're right. Sorry about that.
Yeah, she talked about – it wasn't much. She basically got invited to Malibu at a Jewish film producer's
premiere. Yeah, Jackie's like, you see, the angel said, and now she's been invited to a wedding in America with a Jewish producer who's producing possibly Jewish things in Jewtown of Challah bread. So there you go.
Jewtown of Challah bread.
Like, okay, you're so right, Jackie. So then it turns to Lydia versus Susie. Dun 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 dun
dun dun dun dun.
And Lydia, you know what? You can go suck on your own fucking head. Like, oh, best line of the year.
Yeah. It's like Lydia versus Susie, which sort of expands into Lydia in general. Like the segments start, the segments that they show, the clip packages are like very long. So it starts off with Susie griping about Lydia, but then just becomes how Lydia is terrible in general. So of course, Pettifleur has to weigh in, and she's like, you know, I gave Lydia my all, you know, like when I ask for friendship, you know, it's, you know, what I expect of friendship is unconditional. A friendship is unconditional. You can't put conditions on friends. And then Jackie's like, well, except that I always say that my friend has to have my back. That's a condition.
I like that these women, even though they hate each other and will fight, they'll stick up for the things that they think is right, too, because they all hate Pettifleur. And so Jackie did that, and then Janet goes,
yes, you can't just say that people have to stand with you no matter what. For example, if I'm friends with the murderer, I don't just automatically stand with the murderer.
And Pettifleur's like, yes, you do. Well, then you are a bad friend to murderer. And, you know,
maybe
murderer.
They wouldn't have murdered someone if you'd stood by them in the first place.
You could have saved a life by just being kind.
You don't rewind, do you?
Be kind. Rewind is what I always say to my friends.
What about me? What about my VCR? Everyone's DVD, but I still have VHS. What about me? I'm used to it.
Oh, so Betamax is for nothing then. Okay, poor me. I will be over here not being watched.
That's all right. What am I? I'm just standard definition, right? Just forgettable.
At least I'm cheaper on iTunes, no? So she, Betty goes, Betty, of course, turning this all into herself, is like, well, I've had more to deal with in my life than all seven women together, so there. They're all like, looking at her like,
Janet's like, you realize that my son caught on fire and almost died, right?
Well, you know, it's rumored that my son is flaming, so there.
So
did
that...
he break up with you after he got in fire? No, I didn't think so. Oh.
I still have a moon in my living room waiting to be danced on.
Is your son flashing his girlfriend in front of your head in the $100,000 piano store? I didn't think so.
A piano for your thoughts. So then we move on to the Shane Warren rumors, right? Unless I missed something.
Yeah, it was basically Susie's still trying to fight, even though Pettifleur has taken her whole thing. Yeah. And she's like, Susie tells the story of when she first got cast on the show. She was talking to one of her friends on the phone, and her friend was like, what a coincidence. Here I am sitting with Lydia. Lydia, would you like to say anything? And Lydia grabbed the phone and was like, we're family. And now that we're on the show together, we'll take care of each other no matter what. We're friends. We stick together. And then the minute she hung up, she said, I'm going to rip her apart.
I believe it.
And Susie's like, there were four witnesses.
Yeah, and then Susie's they start talking about this wedding situation again, about how was Lydia at the wedding? Was she not at the wedding? Was Susie there? She's like, well, my parents were there. Wasn't there, whatever, and everything. And Susie's like, you're so condescending about the wedding. It's so condescending. And eventually Lydia just winds up saying, you're such an angry little shit.
Yeah, and again, the women are all fighting in fights that aren't theirs, but they're so strong. Like, you hear Gina from the side go, she wasn't there. The ultimate judgment. She's like, she wasn't there. The end. I'm a Barbie doll. So the Shane Warren stuff was funny because Susie says, "You said that I spread the rumors about Shane Warren and I would never do something like that." And then Gamble goes, "You did, didn't you? You mentioned it on TV. So that's starting it." And Susie's like, "Oh, well, my feelings were hurt."
Well,
so crazy.
Well, we'll get back to that idea of, excuse me, of what it means to spread a rumor versus speak to a rumor, because that becomes a talking point. That becomes a bone of contention later with Jack, I have to say.
Did you produce it or proliferate it? Or is it a profiterole? All right, discuss. I love Gina's way of just breaking down the world.
I know.
Okay, so past wedding stuff.
Then
we get
Joanna.
If you think Lydia treats her friends badly and her family badly, try being her house friend family.
Yeah. So they show a whole segment like Joanna's greatest hits, and including the part where Lydia says something to the effect. So in America, it's bleeped out when Joanna is like the driving, and Lydia says something like "ching ching" or "chong chong," something like that.
They bleeped it out.
They bleep it out. In the American version.
Oh, Lord.
But
they can still say fuck you and fuck off. Oh, well, I guess I'm watching the Australian
version. By the way, they forgot to bleep out one of the fucks. I was watching and you hear Jackie during one of the clips go, "Oh, fuck off," or something like that. I was like, ooh, they forgot to bleep it.
Well, that's a rough catch on this show. It's like every other word.
Yeah, but apparently this was like a huge, huge deal, both in Australia and our lovely friend Nick, who we met at the Podfest. He said that in England it was a big uproar that Lydia said this. So when they came out of the segment, Gamble basically accused Lydia of being racist. She was like, "Well, that's a casual racism." And Lydia's like, "How could it be racist? I mean, she's a China woman. She doesn't even know how to speak English."
It's literally called I Ching. Why are people mad at me? I just said it two times in a row. All right, so it's the Bonds and the Nobles. Because what she said was, she's like, "Do you know your left and right? Am I going to have to teach you those? Do you know those? Chong, chong, ding, 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 chong, chong." I mean, to me, it's all the same,
bad.
You know?
So bad.
So Lydia, though. It's like...
So Lyd, I know. So
it's
Lydia.
Just so her. So then Susie, "How could you be so degrading?" And then Gina says, "Look, like, yes, you know what I would find even more degrading is that Joanna was yours first."
Yeah.
It's, how degrading is that? She's like, "You owned Joanna before she did."
Yeah, apparently Joanna was Susie's housekeeper first. And it wasn't that Joanna was just like found on the street. She was like referred to Lydia. And she's like, "If I had even known how terrible you'd be to poor sweet Joanna, my first daughter, then I never would have recommended her."
It's so shady because they show the clip of Lydia saying, "I just met her on the street and saved her life." And then they show Susie saying, "Lydia was at my house and Joanna just happened to be cleaning." So Lydia, who doesn't know Susie at all, was just there to steal a mane. This show's so shady. I love it.
It's so shady.
So there's apparently a Twitter account of Joanna the House Slave, it's called. Yeah. And Alex is like, "Listen to this wacky treat from Joanna the House Slave. It says, Lydia has made me clean all the cupboards so that I don't ask her real questions at the reunion." I'm like, oh, Jesus. You lame ass fake tweet account. At least do something good.
Yeah. And then for some reason, Shane Warren comes up again, right? Because I thought we had moved past Shane Warren, but then it comes up again. Like
Alex goes, "Lydia, darling, we're not done hating on you yet. Sorry, love." Next, Lydia and Shane Warren. And I love that he just gave her that. Like, girl, it ain't over yet. You got a whole other segment coming.
Yeah. So then he asks if he basically asks, like, did you guys have an affair? Are you guys still friends? And Lydia's like, "Yes, we are absolutely 100% still friends." And that's when Susie's like, "No, you're not friends. He told me."
"I can safely say you're no longer friends." Okay.
She's keen.
So no one shows the text, but supposedly he's told everybody they're no longer friends and she's no longer on the board of ambassadors. Why is that? And she's like, well, the foundation was closing down. I had already come and I thought it's time to have a go round with the car dealer. And they're like, okay. Let's move on.
It's like, you know, I was very upset being on the board of ambassadors today and never got a free hotel room. Like, no, that's embassy suites. Has nothing to do with being on the board of ambassadors.
I kept pulling out my buns because it was called the board of ambassadors. And they kept telling me to cover up and I said, this isn't a board I can be behind. Right? Follow the rules.
I always thought it was rather insulting that they kept calling me a fish. Like, no, not I am bass. It's ambassador.
Where is the I? Are we ambassadors? I am ambassador? I need a more descriptive title. So Gamble is like, you're all just jealous because she's hot. And Janet, so this goes into Janet's booty call, supposedly, that she got. And Alex says, oh, really? Because I've got the text from Shane Warne to prove it. And she's like, no!
She freaked out.
Yes, she did. It's like, it won't show you what I said in it. Oh, no.
She lunged for that card.
Chicken.
So he doesn't read the text, but she does tell us
he won't talk to me anymore.
Ah, no, I knew it. Chicken went through.
So Petty and herself. So the next montage is Alex is like, they're not the only ones in relationship. Pettiflor had a wonderful new relationship this year with herself. And it was just clips of Pettiflor like, oh yes, you're gorgeous. Is anybody more beautiful than me? If you got it, rock it. Okay?
Who begs to differ?
Who begs to differ? And Alex says, Why are you so obsessed with yourself, Pettiflor? And she goes, I work for it, and it's all natural. And you can judge me if you want. And then Gamble goes, bah!
Natural! Yeah. That is not natural!
And all the women just start cackling, which makes me love this show even more.
Yeah, they all laugh. Every time Pettiflor says something, they either laugh at her or scream at her. She just cannot be taken seriously. Idiot spit.
They're all falling down laughing, like literally bending over, cackling. And she's like, well, what, you think this is a natural? And they're like, you got new cheekbones. Like, how is that? You have literally a different face right now. Chica tries to bring it down by saying,
well, I think that it's because Pettiflor lost weight and it made her face possibly look different.
And Janet's like, you've had your cheeks done and your lips are bigger. And Pettiflor says, I swear on my life, and I very rarely to never swear on my life. But this time I swear on my life, I've never had my face done. And Jackie's you also swore on your life that you'd never had a drink when you were drunk.
Yeah. She's like, I swear my life, I've never been drunk. And then again, they all laugh at her and Janet throws a pillow at her. I was like, I'm surprised it's actually taken so long for a pillow to be thrown at a reunion. And that this is what did it.
Yeah. And then Pettiflor takes the pillow and she's like, oh, you're beaches, you're beaches, you're beaches, and you deserve to have the beaches thrown at you. So she throws the pillow back at Jackie and they're still falling all over the floor. Like, what about your stomach? What about your knees? They're all new. And she's like, don't go there, beach. Don't go there, beach. I've had 3 cesareans in my knees. How dare you?
I've had 3 freaking cesareans. Don't go there. Don't go there. I'm like, I don't think anyone wants to go near your V, right, to be honest. Meanwhile, I don't think Alex has ever looked more scared than when that pillow was flying around. He was like, oh no, my sunglasses, they can get knocked off. They can get knocked off.
They're tied to my mask face. It'll all come crashing down.
I thought one of the shining moments of this segment and perhaps the reunion was when Sheiker called Pettiflor self-absorbed. And Pettiflor's response was, oh, that's a big statement, given that I have never, ever asked any of your opinions at all. They just burst out laughing. I'm like, do you realize what self-absorbed means, Pettiflor? I don't know how you can deny it by defining it.
She's like, I cannot believe you would say that. I don't care what anybody here thinks about anything. Like, that's the point.
How could you say I'm self-absorbed when I never even ask you about anything?
I would say this much. If I were a moisturizer, I would use it on myself. Like, kind of the proof.
Just because I call myself a human tampon does not mean I'm a self-absorbed person.
It is external absorption. I like this because they're trying to pin her down on how mean she is to everybody, which you can't because she doesn't know and she doesn't care. Like, there's no winning here, but they bring up huge things. Like, Chica's like, yes, one time at a press event, you even called me frumpy. That's the, like, you're talking about pedofloor. That's the worst thing you could do. And Janet goes, well, she told me I'm a 2 and she's a 10.
Oh my god, it's so mad. They just laugh at her. I mean, and the funny thing is, it's kind of an indictment on human nature, right? Because Pettifleur, she's always trying to prove herself because she's always been the girl who's been laughed at. And the more she tries to prove herself, the more they laugh at her. And that's just the way it is. It's like I was telling my boyfriend earlier about how whenever I play games, people always think I'm like really sneaky and up to something, and I can't, and there's nothing I can do. People, that's just whatever I put something out there that I'm just like sneaky and like I'm up to no good. And I understand Pettifleur a little bit because I can try to change that image as much as I want, but it's innate in me, and that's just who I am. And people will always laugh at Pettifleur just as they'll always think I'm sneaky.
You'll be a good poker player.
I know, I'm the worst.
Well, but if you know that, like, if you actually find the rules, like, when you can make people thinking you're just fucking with them, you can take all their money, Bean.
No, I'm telling you, when I was playing Secret Hitler over the weekend, and I was trying to get a liberal policy passed, so that way no one would know that I'm secretly a fascist, and then my cohort passed a fascist policy instead of a liberal policy, my jaw dropped, and I was like, and then everyone said, Ben, what was it? And I said, that's exactly what it was supposed to be, a fascist pot. I don't know what it was. It doesn't really make sense if you can't see my face or know what the game is, but
bad. Oh, I know your sneaky face.
The problem is that when I talk, my eyebrows go up like one at a time, and that looks so sneaky. It's like a Disney villain. It's so no one trusts me.
What's your tell?
Yeah.
You can use that to your advantage. One day we'll go to the casino. I'll show you, darling.
Darling, okay, show me everything. Teach me. So anyway, Gamble and Pettifleur start fighting again, and it becomes this whole thing about like Pettifleur has been writing things about the cast on her blog, on her website, which is like switchthebitch.com or something like that. And they're like, they don't like being written about on the website. Never mind that all these women talk shit about each other on like television that's broadcast internationally.
Yeah.
But somehow being on Pettifleur's blog is more damning. And I guess Pettifleur wrote something about Luke at one point. I forget what it was. But Gamble, like, I think she just mentioned like Luke is like defending Gamble or being a parrot for Campbell or something like that. And Gamble gets all defensive. She's just like, I don't want Luke on a bitch website. I don't want him on a website that has bitch in the name. And she starts wagging her finger like a little old lady. It was amazing.
I love when they all go crazy on stupid shit. So this was her big yelling thing. Like, she's standing up for Luke, who I think is threatened to behead every single housewife. It's not like he's some innocent, like, little queen, you know?
Yeah, and by the way, secretly, you know he loves it. He loves it.
Yes.
I would.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
He's also not 4 years old, by the way.
But and how they all put it, like, it's your blog, Lou. It's different. We can't defend ourselves on your blog. Do you not have a commenting account? Of course you could. Or you could start your own blog. I mean, WordPress is free. Do it, bitch.
Or how about you don't complain about the blog and give it free traffic?
Yeah, exactly, because I'd never heard of that. So yeah. The other fun screaming about nothing thing was Janet. She was getting herself worked up over Pettifleur, and she goes,
well, what's about in the United Emirates when you apologized? Was that just nothing?
And she's like, I only apologized to Janet because she was desperate, and so I just wanted her to shut up. And Janet goes,
I believe that apology. You are scum. You are
That's when she starts spitting, and she goes, you're worse than a hair on an asshole. And Gina goes, you mean an ass hair? And Pettifleur goes, oh, isn't that what Gina said? You steal that from Gina now? And then Janet just flips her off. It's like, I love this stupid show.
And at some point, Jackie said something. Jackie started getting into it with Pettiflor, and Pettiflor just goes, "You're a disgusting angel." And Jackie goes, "Oh!" Like the idea that there could be a disgusting angel and that she was it.
You are the bloody devil.
I beg your pardon?
And Jackie goes, "Stop putting people down. That's what you do. You put people down. Just speak your truth, girl." I'm like, well, that is her truth. Hey.
Yeah. And then at this point, they're all screaming over each other, right?
Oh, I love the term. You're going off on a tanty.
Yeah.
Pettiflor. You are having tanty. You're going off on a tanty now. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I love that term. It basically gets everything. It's like, I don't know if she's referring to a tangent or a tantrum, but tanty sort of hits them both. And it's so appropriate.
I'm going to be using that. So this is when Alex has his fit, and he's like, shut the fuck up, everybody, shut up. Blah. This is our third fucking series. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, what's the matter with you? And Gina goes, well, we're women.
It happens. I love that. I wrote that down also.
So now we're on a racism thing with Pettiflor because she kept calling Jackie a stupid bogan. And mm-hmm. Or when she said she's a bogan on steroids, and they're like, "How dare you call someone a bogan?" Chica's like, "I don't approve of that." I was like, "Well,
yeah,
good for saying something, Chica."
Yeah. By the way, I also have to say, Jackie, there was a clip that they in like preceding this bogan thing. There was a clip of Jackie freaking out, and she was talking about Pettiflor, and she's like, "I think what you see in others, you see in yourself. I think Pettiflor's an idiot." I'm like, so does that mean? Are you saying that you're an idiot then? You can't say that you see in other like what you see in others, you see in yourself, and then call Pettiflor an idiot. And
that
not
made me laugh so fucking hard. Also, this part because she's like, "That's racist to say bogan like that with that tone of voice." But then they cut to Jackie in the United Emirates trying on a turban, and she's like, "Eh, now I look like Pettiflor." So that's better. Jackie's such a dodo bird.
I know. Yeah. They were all.
Jackie's like defense of anything they throw at her is like, "Well, you know what? I'd clean floors again because I've cleaned floors, and I'll do it again." It's like, okay, but you still have to fight. Like in this argument, "Nah, I'll clean a floor then. Hey, you want me to scrub a toilet? I'll do it because that's the kind of girl I am. I don't mind. I'll clean a toilet.
The angels love them up." And then somewhere in the middle here, Pettiflor goes, "I'll be the first one to own up." I'm like, please, you've never owned up to anything.
I own more than anybody here. Damn it. And when Chica's like, "It's awful calling someone a bogan, but why would you do that?" She goes, "Well, the whole country thinks that." I love it. You cannot get rid of Pettiflor ever.
No, never.
Sociopath.
Yeah, she's a crazy lady. Crazy.
So then this goes on to the rumor fight of, is it worse that Lydia said all these things behind everybody's back off camera? Or is it worse that Jackie brought them all up on camera, which kind of threw everybody under the bus when Lydia never did?
Exactly. So Lydia, of course, denies even making up a rumor. She's like, "I never started a rumor. I never started it." I think
she repeated it. She's like, I didn't start the rumor that Brucey was gay. Some guy who gave him a blowjob on a truck stop started it. What do you want me to do? Apologize for everybody at a truck stop?
Yeah. She didn't seem to understand that, like, if you repeat things to someone, you're spreading a rumor. It's not merely that you're just like giving, it's not as simple as, "Oh, I'm just giving an update on what I heard." I'm not really spreading rumor. I'm just talking about some gossip I heard and telling it to other people and telling them to spread it out to other people.
Yeah. So it became the fight of, like, what's worse, starting it or just talking about it? And Gina's like, "Listen, they're starting a rumor, they're perpetuating a rumor. I mean, look, the rumor about Brucey being gay was started. But is it more the person who started that rumor or the white tight jeans that perpetuate it?" Who are we going to see at the end of the day?
And then Janet was getting all feisty. Janet was mad about the rumor that Lydia had allegedly made up about affairs and stuff. She's like, "I want to know how you found out about the rumor." And then Lydia just kept on denying and denying and denying. And finally, Janet's like, "I'm asking you a question, you dumb fat bitch."
And Chica, "Oh, I don't think that was good to call a fat.
It wasn't nice. It was too much. She goes, I don't care.
And then everyone was getting mad at Cheeker because Cheeker and Lydia are making baby steps. And then they're mad like,
we're fighting on behalf of you. And then you're not even mad. Like, I don't understand this.
I'm like, you guys should be happy they're making baby steps. That's like a good thing that people are trying to actually be friends again.
Yeah, she got all mad. Janet gets mad because people are forgiving. So
yeah.
Beautiful. What I'm trying to figure out what I'm saying here, but the question is something to Lydia, like, what do you think you've done wrong? And Lydia goes, I've learned that when people get angry, we say nasty things, and you tend to project those things. Like, do you even know what you're saying? You're basically saying you're cheating, your husband's cheating, possibly gay, and you're a sex addict. Like, if that's all you projecting your own issues, girl, just be quiet over there.
Yeah. So then we go to a Jackie segment showing how Jackie got also unhinged this season. And Jackie starts denying that she was spreading rumors because Lydia, as you said before, Lydia's saying, no, Jackie, you spread the rumors because you brought it up. And she's like, no, I didn't spread rumors because I said what I had to say right to your face. That's not spreading a rumor. I'm like, but you talked about it in front of TV cameras. And so you did spread a rumor because you spread it to all the viewers.
Yes. And Alex was good on this point as well. He called her on it, but it didn't seem unfair to me because he says, yes, but these rumors, you don't you feel bad that you brought them to the table and gave them oxygen? And then Jackie knows that she's been caught. So she's like, she starts fake crying. She's like, I just cracked when she said I had bad energy. That's about my business. My business is my energy with angels. It's like if she said, you're a one-winged angel. Who's going to pay for me then? And I cracked. And there, I said it. But now I feel terrible, girls, because it was me who brought it up. And now I feel just like a terrible person. What the hell is going on this show?
It was so bizarre. But it's funny because it's the second season in a row where these women have gotten so enraged over whether something was a rumor or gossip or rumor mongering or not, right? Because last season was all about Janet. Was Janet gossiping about spreading rumors about Gamble? And Janet was like, no, I was just saying that's something I heard. It wasn't Gamble. Da, 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 da. So it's like basically the same thing again. And I love at one point Lydia said something to Janet that was so like incendiary that they had to bleep it out. It was like a callback to Beverly Hills season 3. And Lydia's like, you were the one who said being a bleep or something.
And it sounded like it was to Pettiflor. So it was Pettiflor's something, which I mean, I'm guessing they're talking about Sun because all we see is something. I was searching Pettiflor Sun gay porn model because that was my guess. And then Pettiflor is like, oh, if you said this is like beyond.
Well, that was the best part because after that big bleepy part, that was when Jackie freaked out. And then she like got that look on her face and goes, beg your pardon? Which I rewound and watched 10 times in a row.
Real Housewives of Melbourne. God damn it, I'm going to miss you people. Yes. And I hear that next year Chica's not coming back. So this was our final Chica disapproving nod.
Oh, I like Cheeker. I think she seems like a good person and she seems accomplished and she seems like she's good at what she does. And I respect her.
I'm going to miss you, Cheeker.
I'm going to miss you, Cheeker.
Let's take a little break before Below Deck, shall we?
Yeah, sounds great.
And we're back with a little Below Deck.
Yes, I loved this episode, by the way. Loved it.
Fun times. Look at back hair the same way again.
Oh, no. No, definitely not. I really enjoyed this. All sorts
for
of,
anybody who doubts that we ever came from apes, watch this episode.
Yes. Yes, this will teach Kansas to update their core curriculum.
Yes, if anybody needs proof of evolution, this is it.
Well, it both proves that we've evolved and proves that we've never evolved.
some evolve more quickly than others, you know.
Yes, maybe physically we've evolved and mentally perhaps not.
Yeah, the apiest can make the most money while just sitting down. You know, the apiest people make more money in this 5 minutes that we've talked than you have in your entire life, you idiots.
Yeah.
douchiest guests of all time.
Mm-hmm. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
So I just started off my notes with previously homely people got horny.
Yeah.
That's pretty much there's your catch up for the season, guys, if you're just joining us.
So Sierra, she had a rough episode last week because she had to help out with something and Ben yelled at her and she's like, I can't be around negativity. So
I'm really positive unless I'm around negativity.
Yeah. So I love how like the next morning Kate was telling Ben like, you know, you really just like, you know, you have to be supportive of her. Can you just like be sure to like tell her like she's great and everything. And I was like, this is so strange for Kate to be so encouraging of a stew. What's wrong with Kate?
Well, she can, I mean, other than burning the sheets that time, she actually enjoys ironing and doesn't complain about things. So I think you could really have two heads be listed on Megan's list and, I don't know, be a murderer. And Kate would still like you as long as you did your damn chores with a smile on your face.
So I love how Ben's like, he's like, yeah, it's like, all right, I'll give her a little pep talk. And when he finally runs into her, he's just like, we've all been there. We don't have to chat about it. Like, I guess that is English for a pep talk.
A good talk.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've been there, darling, honey pie.
She's like, okay. And she calls her mom. And I really love good reality moms because it's very rare that you hear one. You know, usually they're telling them to make the worst decisions and you understand where these idiots come from. But Sierra calls her mom crying. She's like, I can't be positive in a storm of negativity. Her mom's like, put on your rain boots. It's like, nah, I love you. She's like, get over it. All right, now here's what we say. Yes, mom. Yes, mom. All right, gotta go. Jeopardy's on. Click.
It was definitely an improvement from Roxy last year being like, oh, she's a baby. I sort of miss it.
Oh, Rocky.
Rocky. For a minute, I call her Roxy.
You said Roxy, and it made me think of Chicago. That would make an amazing season.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. A little Bob Fosse on the dick. Yeah. So breakfast. Oh yeah, that's their talk. Okay, so this is the episode where poor Lauren is like, well, I think he likes me. Nico and I, we have such a great relationship. he'll tell a fart joke and I'll be like, that was hilarious. And then I'll pretend that I'll smell it and like I'm gonna fall down. We're gonna get married one day. And Nico's like, oh man, it's so fun not ever having to fuck a girl. Like, being able to talk to a girl that you never have to worry about getting it up for. I'm like, oh no, this poor girl.
I know, poor Lauren. She, oh man, you could see it. You could see it falling apart for episodes, but now it's coming to a head. So like, so the guests go to the shore to go to some bar, and Captain Lee's like, yeah, you guys can go swim. Well, Kate's like, do they have permission to go swimming? Captain's like, yeah, go swimming. So
she goes,
guys, I will let you swim. And then she tells us, it makes me crazy when people can't see how lenient I am.
And her deadpan face, you can never really tell.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna go sort some pebbles now. So they were swimming, and I was like, oh, poor Rocky. She probably is crying somewhere. I just want to be in the water.
No one's doing this with a tail around their legs. Inhibiting that, so, I could have done it.
So when the guests come back onto the boat, they decide to have the fat guys decide to have a push up contest. It's basically the hairy fat the back hair Russian dude versus like the Uncle Fester one, and they decide they're gonna have a push up contest, and whoever loses has to get like some chest hair waxed off, which is
gross.
Just like, I'm like, why are we being subjected to this? Why?
Like, no matter who wins, the stews lose. Like,
yeah.
Can I do some push-ups and maybe get taken out of this contest? Thank you. Thanks.
At least Sierra's keeping things positive. She's like yammering about it. She's like, it's an old wives' tale that people respond to you better when you put lavender oil in your hair. I'm like, what old wives ever said that?
Like, I'm not going to let Ben get to me. I'm going to drink lavender water.
Okay.
I love old wives' tales that originate in Jamba Juice.
When they tell Kate about the spa party, she goes,
okay, sounds great.
She's just like priming up some good old insults. She's like, this will be great.
She looks fucking miserable. And while they're doing the push-ups, the guys are like, it's like watching Walrus's wit. It's like watching Walrus's mate.
Yeah. Except not as graceful.
So they had to wax both of them ended up getting waxed, and it was just disgusting. And Emily's like, one of them says something like, why did they say, can we see your V?
So, basically, so they're doing this waxing thing, and they're actually bad at doing it. So the woman, you know, you're supposed to like rip it off, and she like doesn't do it right. So it like rips halfway, and then like, you could see like the hair like tugs back. Oh my God. I actually, for 1 second, I felt bad for this guest. Uh-huh. And now the thing is, I think basically the Russian guy was like, oh yeah, so you know, give me a back hair of V. So they're making V patterns. And that's when there was one guy who was not getting his hair waxed, and he was like, Emily, can we see your V? So disgusting.
It's really quite demeaning. It's normal for a woman, though, whether it's a car honk on the street or an old drunk man asking to see your V. It's just part of being a woman.
Yeah.
A car honk on the street. I love just picturing Emily walking down the street and a car honking and being like, well, that was disrespectful to womanhood. But cheerio, on with my day.
It is funny to me that these guys are just like falling over themselves for Emily. She doesn't seem interested in them at all. And, you know, she's cute, but I mean, like, I think they're just like really into the accent or something. They're acting like she's Cindy Crawford, which I guess me making this comment is in and of itself sort of demeaning to her also, like that she's not hot enough to be fought over. Sorry, ladies.
Well, hey, look, it's like being on The Bachelor or something. People get hotter as the other people get kicked off. It's just how it is.
It's true. You like what you can't have. Yeah. So then it's nighttime, which gave us a chance to see Kate with some evening pebbles. And then they are all gathering for dinner. And again, that obnoxious guy who asked about Emily's vagina, he is obnoxious again because Kate's talking about wines that they have. He's like, well, she's like, no, we have some other wines if you'd like to try. And he goes, I'll try you too. Disgusting.
The best to me was Kate laminating that guy's back hair. She's like, here's his gift.
Yeah.
It's the perfect gift.
She is good for a passive-aggressive parting gift.
And they all sign his back hair laminate poster. Let's see here. What happens?
Docking drama.
Some more romance with Lauren. I love, this is another romantic scene with Lauren and Nico. They're sitting down having breakfast or something, and she's like, yeah, you know where I'm from? We just take the scabs off, because we all get those scabs, and we just eat them. They're like, it's like scab cornflakes. Nico's like,
He's like, you're such a great friend. Tell me that story.
Yeah, please sit across the table from me. Please move away.
Yeah. So then they come into dock and there's some sort of issue and Nico jumps off the boat and it's like Nico, don't jump off the boat. So
this makes me look really bad because like when you jump off the boat, like I might as well have jumped off the boat. Okay. Dock drama.
Dock drama as usual. Fenders, cables, Nico jumping.
So they actually got a pretty decent tip on this one, which is nice. And then we get to the new guests, Mark and Heidi.
Yeah.
With drunk daughters. It's like the drunk family with four daughters has daughters from the previous marriages, and they're just both wasted. And we also get, both sides are wasted, I mean. And then we get our new deckhand.
Yes, Kyle.
He's like, hello, Captain. Great to be here. Not the bit. Well, what's your experience? What? One time I just saw in the edit of it. He's like, all right, well, whatever. Here's your sponge. Good luck.
Well, this guy. But before he came on board, there was all sorts of interesting stuff that was going on because – Kate was talking about Ro and how happy she was being with Ro, and I like it when when I guess at some point one of them said, either Kate said it or Ben said it, that like when they look into your eyes and say I love you, that's Ben. He said when they look into your eyes and tell you I love you, that's when you can tell you've been bugged. That's when you know. Then Kate goes, that's when you know it's all about to go downhill fast. I'm like, oh Kate, those are your words, not ours. Your words, Kate. Go downhill fast. And also, by the way, I don't know if you noticed, at one point Captain Lee totally checked out Emily. He like looked her up and down, checked out her ass. He fully wants to jump on the Emily train too.
Well, hey, they're not the only ones stuck in prison. I've been over here wearing these sockless loafers. Has anybody said a thing to me? Nope, but I'm here just waiting, ladies.
Don't you dare turn him into Shannon Bedore.
He had that voice before Shannon Bedore was even cast, okay?
That's true. And then Kelly and Nico, they're both vying for Emily. And, Nico is being really aggressive and trying to hit on Emily. And Kelly is like, listen, Nico's coming in hot with Emily, but I'm going to play the long game instead. I'm like, I bet you will, Kelly. We've seen the pictures.
Oh, yeah. You wear your long game every day.
Yeah.
You were blessed with the long game.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Love your long game.
So there's all this stuff that's happening. There's all this. Oh, yeah, because Nico, I'm looking. Kyle hasn't. OK, so, yeah, we skipped way ahead. There's all this stuff that happened before Kyle arrived, because that's when they go out drinking. But the night before Kyle arrives. So they go out drinking. And Lauren is basically receding into herself because she's starting to realize that her feelings for Nico are definitely one way. Poor girl.
Yeah.
Nico never even realized it took Ben to tell him that.
Yeah, like, she poor thing. She's all upset, and then she tries doing that thing where she's like, well, I'll just be mad at him, and then he'll see that I'm mad at him, and then he'll come rush up and say, don't be mad, I love you. And no, that's not really how that works. Usually guys that's are not- like, ew, gross.
Yeah. If anything, it actually made me like Nico more, because she was like really sad and he kept on like checking in on her. He's like, I just want to make sure you're okay. Like, it's really like, are you okay? He was the one who was picking up on all this stuff. And she was just like, no, I can't be around. I can't look at you. I can't look. No. I was like, Lauren, you can't throw the hissy fit. You can't go off on a tanty.
Because... I like when Ben's like,
listen, kid, can you not see the signs? She likes you. Like, she really likes you.
And he goes, I feel so bad for her that I don't have those feelings.
Yeah, I'm sure you feel really bad. I feel so bad for her that she's in love with me. Happens all the time. But then, so they're all out drinking. You know, Lauren has decided to go off to a beach, like, and sit there alone. Nico is coming on hot on Emily. And Kelly, though, oh, so crafty. He's like, hey, Nico, you got to take care of your girl, Nico. Like, Lauren's over there feeling bad. You got to go check in on her. So Nico goes off to look after Lauren, and that's, of course, when Kelly immediately goes in on Emily.
Yeah, he's like, oh, yeah, getting wasted is great, huh? Man, I wish I could wake up to ramen noodles tomorrow. And she goes, vomit. And he's like, no, ramen, you know, like the noodles. She goes, ah, ramen. Well, he's quite interesting. He's a quite interesting fellow.
Yeah, she was not having it. But so then Kelly's like, all right, well, this isn't working, so let me try something else. You know that Nico has a girlfriend, right?
Yeah. He's like, poor guy, you know, he's out here. Well, his girlfriend's at home. Well, that is quite disrespectful of womanhood. She's I love that she is the object of everyone's affection, because she's the least sexual person, I think.
Yeah.
Like, she comes across as just not having that vibe at all, you know?
Like, yeah.
Well,
no,
well, isn't that a knitting night with Nana? They're like, oh, that's bad, right? No, I meant sounds like a party. Like, oh,
so then they all return to the yacht. Nico is wasted, and he corners Sierra and basically tries to kiss Sierra, and she just laughs. I mean, that lavender oil really is working.
Yeah, no kidding. America's like Googling lavender oil right now.
So when Sierra walks off, when Sierra just laughs in his face, that's when Nico then corners Emily and is like, I just have to say, you're like really attractive, and like, we should be boyfriend girlfriend, and like, kiss in the vagina and penis right now.
Well, if you were a bank low, you would be disapproved.
Sorry, stamp. It's like, clear. She's like, I do not approve of gentlemen coming on to ladies when they've already got a gentleman lady at home. I don't even know what it is, but someone's at home and it's not me. That's disrespectful.
Heavens.
If this were an Evite, he wouldn't even be a maybe. He would just be a taken. It's all polite.
Yes. So then it's the next morning and everyone's cleaning. And now Kyle arrives. And I love how, like, the captain's first comment is like, well, I like a beard to be short and trimmed and well-groomed. So good job.
Oh, I can do that.
That's the only I could do today.
Oh, man. He's like, what's your experience? I bet it's blowing fleet and trollers, getting on the seas, getting the boat on the job. Troller, it's a very dangerous job. Yacht has women on it. And I'm not going to die. Glad to be here. He's like, all right. Well, rule number one is do not run by the pool. So let's see how you do with that one. Baby steps, kid. Baby steps.
Well, you can put a balaclava on a pool, but you can't put a pool in a balaclava. And so if it gets a balaclava, you get the balaclava. It's just like a snake, you know? It's like...
But you bought Big Pepper.
And Sierra's like, whoo. Sierra's like into him immediately.
Yeah, like, Sierra's like, is that lavender?
So Kate, this guy in his picture was holding an apple with a bite taken out of it. And Kate said,
that's either an extremely intelligent, funny person or a psychopath.
And so she walks up to him and she's like, here's an apple for you.
He's like, what? Apple?
She's like, it's because it was in the photo that you took. And
it's like, oh, well, it's because I was stuck in the picture and I saw an apple and I said, that would look quite good in the picture. So I took a picture with the apple.
She's like, oh, darn. B.
Sierra's like, that's a great story. That's wonderful. Have I told you about my ambitions in the juicing industry? Kyle, we learn, went on a pub crawl and basically shacked up with a lady and got a daughter out of it. And now watches this girl eat raisins for 10 minutes a day.
I was on a pub crawl, met my lady, my ex-lady, had a baby. I got to watch her eat grapes for 10 minutes today. So that was good.
No, watch raisins every day. I call it Raisin TV. But really, I'm Raisin Child. But it's raisins. Oh. But Kyle, he's very quirky. He was like ironing a rag. And Kate's like, oh, you know that we can do this. He's like, but I have to say, by the way, Kate, I have the same iron and I love it. The Rowenta, it's great. It's fabulous. I knew I liked Kate. We have the same iron. Not that she bought that iron, but still, I like to think that whenever I iron, I'm going to feel like I am Kate. Not like the reality show, but I like I am Kate Chastain.
The talk with Kate and Ben. He's saying,
do you think the stock in Nico has gone down since last night?
She's like,
yes, well, he made out with everybody. So, to be fair, you did give him too much credit to begin with, so it makes sense.
To be fair, he was overvalued to begin with. On your stock. So great.
And then
Nico
tried to apologize to the girl. Well, he tried to apologize to Emily. He's like, I'm really sorry. Like, you know, I was just like drunk. So sorry. I'd like to apologize for my actions last night, which is so someone who's recently lived with their mother, you know?
Yeah.
It's like they know exactly how to apologize. And she says,
I just felt that it wasn't fair to come after all of us and make us feel like you're trying to win the easiest one.
He's like, I know, I should not have done that, but, you know, I was just, like, really drunk, and I was just trying to get away from Lauren, that's all.
I found it quite respectful that he apologized for what he'd done, even on top of the disrespect of feeling like a slut.
Yeah, because it could have been worse. It could have been Trevor.
Blank, wonky. By the way, I did a private eye Google last week trying to find some hair modeling pictures of Trevor. There are none. I have seen so many hairstyles from the 80s in that stupid Paul Mitchell catalog. No offense, Paul Mitchell. But I've looked through way too much, and I never saw Trevor. And I tried. So sorry, everybody.
Sorry. Yeah, I think, like, volunteering to like, get your hair cut by students is not the same as being a hair model.
But their names were Paul and Mitchell. It took two of them. My bangs were amazing.
Like, He's like, I volunteered to get my hair cut on season 2 of Sheer Genius, but, like, I don't know. Is that was the name of the show, Sheer Genius?
Yeah. He's like, well, I'm the smartest one here. I mean, I've been on a show called Sheer Genius, so get in line, girls.
This, like, Australian woman yelled at me the entire time. I don't know. I think her name was Tabitha or something. So then the guests come on. The guests come on board. Kate gives a tour. She's like, hey, this boat's been, like, recently renovated. Everything's brand new. Here are the pebbles, and here are the seashells, and here are the crystals. We'll be using one for different every different meal of the day. Mm. Those daughters, they started to get drunk. I thought those were fun drunks.
Like, why would I want an olive in my drink? Hey, why do I want to eat my cocktail? Anybody?
It's like, oh, yes. Now this is a family trip. That's how we do it, too. We're like, let's get wasted.
To me, that was like fun, drunk passenger. Those were fun, drunk passengers. You know,
it's always so fun. The first hour.
That's true. That's true. Kyle and Sierra start to flirt. I like how Kyle describes it. She's like, oh, she has the Alaskan face, you know, very cold weather, Norwegian. You know, I like that. I like that. Looks like a girl who looks like a husky with a husky voice. I like it.
That girl looks like she can build an igloo. I'm all for it. That's the kind of girl you settle your luggage on the back.
I just want to strip some snowshoes on her and go walking around somewhere.
That girl looks like a cool weather car.
She reminds me of those commercials with a SUV. They come to a river. And then a woman with a sled has the dogs. They have to blow the dogs into the SUV and they drive across the river. I like that. I like that woman. I like a woman who could load it into a car.
You can make sweet love to it at night. And in the daytime, you can sell rides on the back. It's a strong woman with a strong cold weather face.
I like a woman that you have to take a helicopter to. There are no roads to her.
Oh, gosh. So everybody loves Kyle because even if he's saying fuck you to their face, no one really can tell. But, yeah. You know, he's good with a Swiffer. So they're like, you can stay.
Yeah, it sounds like the audio is constantly being dropped out of his mic. So they're like, well, we only hear every third syllable and we like it.
And that's pretty much where we end, right? Well, he's flirting with Sierra. Him and Sierra fall in love over talking about nothing. He's like, it's dumb on the button. She's like,
but before I felt like I was dying and I couldn't survive on the oxygen of negativity. But then you came on and you're very positive.
He's like, what? Cool with the fuss.
She's like, I don't know what that is, but it sounded like poetry.
Yeah. And then they put out the critter-free pool, and he's diving around. And then he comes up, and he's, like, flopping around, and his arm is weird. And they're like, Kyle! Kyle! Oh, my God, what's wrong with Kyle? It's like, dun-dun-dun.
Hey, critter-free pool.
It's supposed to be a critter-free pool, but a critter down there. I got a critter bit. I got a bit queer.
He brought cool. A critter with him. Hey! Didn't anybody check Kyle for critters?
This is what happens when you let your beard grow too long.
Hey, this is why Alien got a sequel, huh?
So we have to wait till next week to find out what happened with Kyle in the critter-free pool.
Only suspense. On this show. Only suspense. On this show. What happened to Trevor's critter arm? Next week on Below Dick. Oh, yeah, Kyle.
Yeah. Well, if you can't handle a critter-free pool, how can you handle the fender when we come into dork? That's what I want to do.
Everybody, thanks so much for listening to Watch What Crappens. We love you. If you want our bonus episodes, etc., go over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and go to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens to talk crap with the other listeners throughout the week. And of course, for all those links, just head on over to watchwhatcrappens.com. Okay?
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Everybody.